Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Update. My name is Claire. I'm a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. We're kind of used to hearing Jen's voice at this time every week, and Jen is in Zambia. She arrived yesterday, and we hope she's getting some well-deserved sleep at this point. And we're really grateful for her safe arrival, and we're really grateful for our project in Zambia. And that leads into our topic for today. We thought it'd be perfect week to talk about gratitude and our favorite gratitude practices. And with me today, I have Melinda, and I believe Alex is with me too. Alex, are you on the line?
I'm right here, Sequoia.
Oh, terrific. Okay, Alex, you want to start us off and share some of your... I noticed something, the voices came through, and I noticed that there was something about gratitude with the voice.
Yeah, that was a cartoon that came out yesterday. For those of you who don't receive the voices cartoons, you can easily sign up for them to receive them in your inbox every Monday. But for the holidays, I've been doing the cartoons on... particular themes, and so the one that usually comes out around this time is about gratitude, and it includes making your own gratitude list, and you can even, this year, you can even print out your own gratitude list that you can fill out with whatever it is that you're grateful for, and so, no, go ahead, Sequoia.
No reason not to be grateful.
No, none at all. Yeah, the character in the cartoon is grateful for his rocket boots and his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and the air he breathes. And I had fun filling out mine.
His rocket boots. Wow,
yeah.
I'd like to see those.
Yeah, they are really neat. But, yeah, that's one of my favorites. And I'll just mention one more is that... because of the recording and listening that we're doing this with the email classes that are going on right now started. I mean, the book What You Practice started. What You Practice, What You Have started the whole thing. But we're doing these recording and listenings, and it's just been really neat to be able to transfer everything that I came up with that I was thankful for into a recording that I can go ahead and listen to, and just be reminded throughout the day of what it is that I'm grateful for. Especially because, you know, we just have so much, and it's easy for conditioning to focus in on the one thing that I don't have and have that eclipse all of this wonderfulness that is around.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I too love that, to just put on my recorder everything I'm grateful for, and it's a fast trip out of the dark room into the light room to listen to that. I remember one time, I think it was on retreat, when I was going through one of those dark room spells, and Sherry recommended I walk around and say thank you and notice everything that I was grateful for. And boy, it really, really helped. And the recorder just makes that much more possible.
Yes. Yeah, because there you have it. You just push play, and it reminds you of all those things. And that's what I really love about it the most, is that it's hard to stay in a place of identification with anything, really, for any length of time when you have this loving mentor going around telling you you're grateful for your feet, the air you breathe and the grass that's growing and the beautiful sights and the color green. And it just really doesn't matter what, because once you start going, you just really can't stop. There's just so much to be grateful for that I'm grateful for these, you know, challenging times that I'm having. You know, it's like, oh, my God, when will it ever end?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Alex.
Well, thank you, Sequoia.
And I'm going to pass the phone over now to Melinda.
Thanks, Koya. I really appreciated that Alex mentioned what you practice is what you have, because, of course, as we practice gratitude, what we get to live in is gratitude, and it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And I, too, have a gratitude list that I made a commitment a long time ago to write down at least three things every day that I am grateful for, and that list has been going for probably a year and a half, and it's taken up most of a journal, and I love doing that. And another practice that seems to start kind of on its own is that thank you, just saying thank you as you walk around. And what it's become for me is the very first thing I say when I wake up in the morning is thank you. And the very last thing I say at night before I go to sleep is thank you. And through the day, I think it's like Alex was saying, I'll see these incredible fall colors that we have near here now on the West Coast, a little behind the East Coast, and they're just extraordinary. And thank you for that. Thank you for the information to drop in where I did leave my keys. Thank you for just sort of a thank you for coming back to the moment every time that happens. And that way I get to live in gratitude. And again, seems like that's just one of the best ways to live that there is.
Thanks, Melinda. Yes, absolutely. I can't think of any other place to live other than gratitude. I was thinking one of the other things that I like to do sometimes as well, is because it's my tendency to forget at times, is to set a little timer or something that, or, you know, tie a string around my finger, just something that will remind me to come back every so often during the day to just look around and say thank you and bring me back to that place of seeing all that is given to me. And did you have more to say, Melinda?
Yeah, well, I just realized, yes, Thanksgiving is coming, and isn't it wonderful to have every day be a day of Thanksgiving, which is what doing gratitude practices offers us.
Yes, and along those lines, I wanted to mention, some of you may have heard a few weeks back, Sherry Richie Ballou was talking on Good News Update about a project she has interviewing folks about their recording and listening experience. And we just wanted to remind folks, if you would like to participate in that project, you can email Sherry at her, the email address is sherry@simplycelebrate.net. And that Sherry is spelled S-H-E-R-R-Y @simplycelebrate.net. And there is another great opportunity to look at what recording and listening has brought into our lives and being able to express your gratitude for that and to really support a great project that is going on. So if no one has any final, Alex, do you have anything else to say?
Yeah, actually, it occurred to me that there's a Karen Drucker song about thank you for this day, Spirit, thank you for this day, and she goes on and starts listing a whole bunch of other things, and so for anybody who's a musical type might enjoy filling in their own. I know I have, you know, with the list of gratitudes that can come up from that, so thank you for my family, Spirit, thank you for my family, and thank you for this practice. this wonderful practice. So
that's great.
And you can record those too.
That's right. And that's, you know what? The recorder just is so accepting of your song.
Everything. Yeah.
There's not a critic present to say anything about it. So
no, not at all. And it's just a great fun way to just incorporate everything into it. Yeah. So
yeah.
I just wanted to offer that to anybody who might be familiar with Karen or will be interested in looking her up.
That's great. And that's Karen Drucker.
Mm-hmm. Karen Drucker.
Yeah. And I think you can find her website and information on her CDs. Okay. Looks like that's time. So we'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Great. Thank you, Sequoia.
Thanks.
Thank you, Melinda. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I loved hearing that. I spent the morning actually writing a letter to the Sangha at this time of Thanksgiving, and I find that I had a lot of the same attitudes and experiences that those fine people were expressing.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, it's gratitude. It's fun.
Yes. Yes. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for open air. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for practice. I'm grateful for all the ways that life supports me.
Mm-hmm.
Just miraculous.
Yeah. Yeah, so much goodness all around us.
Yes.
In fact, I was just talking with somebody who happens to be my grandson, and he was remarking about how, just talking with young people, because that's who he mostly talks with, because that's his age group, and how much difficulty there is for people, suffering and sadness and hardship and struggle and that sort of thing. And he said, I just wish that people knew that there's a way out of that. It's possible not to give our lives over to that. And it's, in fact, it's possible to stay focused on all of the good things in life and all that we receive and all we're grateful for. So that conversation seems to be in the air.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do kind of struggle with the notion that, we do this once a year. I saw a headline on a newspaper that said the need is tremendous, and they were talking about providing a Thanksgiving meal for people in this country who are very poor and, in fact, are going hungry. And I thought, gosh, it'd be great if we put some focus on that the other 364 days of the year, because
yes,
that one meal is just not going to last that long.
Yes.
But maybe it's a start for us. You know, we realize that it actually feels good to participate in things like that and think about people who have less opportunity right now than we do, and maybe we continue. We let it grow. And as our gratitude grows throughout those 365 days, then possibly the interest in extending that to others expands as well. So
yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Anyway, there's a lot of philosophy in that, as you know, Michael, that I'm restraining myself from getting into. For instance, our endless focus on the few little things in our lives that don't work as compared to the just abundance of things in our lives that do work can keep us in a place of not realizing that there's tremendous generosity that we can, that's available to us, and that we can share with everyone and everything, and that the world is really, I would say, desperate for that loving kindness and generosity, and it's something that we all have available to us, regardless of life circumstances. So, good to be reminded of that on at least once a year.
Yeah. Yes. If not once a day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
So what's going on?
I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
All right. We'll do that.
Yes. And let's start talking to people.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Nomi.
Hey, Nomi. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Very, very good. What's going on?
Well, I haven't been able to call in basically since the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat when I called in the following
the
week.
The first week,
Yeah. I work as a cook in a restaurant, and Tuesdays are always my busy shift, and I'm never able to get out in time to make the call. And then I always end up listening on the subway or on the train on the way back, wishing that I could have called in. But luckily,
did they stop cooking this Tuesday?
They didn't. They didn't. But in time for Thanksgiving, they're doing some renovations. So luckily, I have a night off.
Oh, yay! Well, good
yay!
For us.
Yeah. So excited that I can finally try. Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I
must admit that a lot of guilt surrounds me in not doing enough and not making all the things that I had planned to do since the retreat, not getting myself into enough of a routine, and mostly feeling upset about it and feeling like I'm a beginner making beginning mistakes and not being able to fully participate like everyone else, and I don't know.
Now you know that's all hogwash, of course.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. No, certainly. Because, you know, for me anyway, and obviously that's the only person I can ever speak for, seeing for ourselves, having the experience of what works and what doesn't work is the way that we begin to make the choices that serve us, that the heart really longs for. And when we don't come through, when we get snookered again and fall for some old story, if we go to guilt, conditioning wins. If we go to disappointment, which is a much more sincere place to be, it's a much more authentic place to be, because that really is the experience. You're disappointed that it didn't happen for you. That can turn very quickly into resolve, and it strengthens you instead of diminishing you even more and strengthening conditioning, which is what happens when we have remorse or guilt or any of that sort of thing. So maybe just to spend a little time with the folks who are really disappointed that it didn't happen, and get a good plan going, a good time to talk to the mentor and get some reminders, recordings going, and make a better plan, and then see how you get snookered again, and just keep making those plans. Because here's the thing, being with the parts of you who are disappointed is as meaningful as being with them in any way that we could think of.
Right.
Yeah. So all they want is your presence and attention and concern and compassion. And so even if you're all getting together, kind of commiserating about the fact that that conditioning and self-hate is a sneaky, slimy thing, you're together.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said the word guilt because that's what I'm used to saying and used to feeling, and really it is much more a disappointment.
Yeah.
It's, when you said make a better plan, I'm really good at making plans and really good at not following through.
That has
and
been
really,
the case. That has been the case in the past. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you have a lot more motivation and a lot more tools. So I don't know if you've ever run across this, but one of my favorite tools for this kind of time in life is the Making a Change for Good book. With the 30-day retreat in the back of it. And the whole point of that 30-day retreat, of course, is simply to see how you get hoodwinked. It's, right. You know, you make a commitment, and there's no idea at all that you're going to keep it. You know, it's like, if you do, well, you know, woohoo, let's have, you know, let's party. But the odds are good that you won't. It, people can't even stay with the retreat, let alone stay with the commitment. But all,
right.
all it's aimed at doing is seeing how that's being done to you.
I'm currently trying to be okay with getting only to email class number 4 out of 7 at the present time, even
yeah.
though I decided that this time I'm going to be so on top of it, and I'm going to, every morning that the email comes, I'm going to answer it right away and make time for that. And I somehow find myself 3 lessons behind, but, you know, trying to just see that and not be killing myself
right.
over it.
You know, Naomi, one of the things that could, since you spend, it sounds like, a fair amount of time on the subway or public
yeah.
transportation, you know,
yeah.
one of the things you could do is record the lesson, the assignment, into your recorder,
mm-hmm.
listen to it when you're commuting, come up with your response,
yeah.
record that, and when you get home, just have to type it in.
Right.
Yeah. And will they try to talk you out of that? Oh, God, yes. But
of course, because
really,
if I don't get a seat in the subway, then I can't, you know, be with myself properly and record, and I can't think because I'm standing on the subway. And
although
by the time I get home,
be a tremendous role model, standing there on the subway, doing awareness practice lessons.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, considering the amount of time I think about what I'm not doing in awareness, I guess I'm pretty much in awareness a little bit of the time at least.
Precisely. That is a great insight, because it doesn't matter what you're being aware of. You're in
right.
awareness, and that's
yeah.
all we're doing. Yeah. Yeah. So now I will tell you, what group are you in, A, B, or C?
B.
B, okay. Well,
no, A.
A. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Very good. I don't
yeah,
think
the,
you want to
the other email class I did that I, the only other class I did was the Enneagram, which was amazing.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
another one I didn't finish to the full and promised myself I'd go back to.
Yeah, well, that's really hard to do. You know, I think really it's better that we just let it go and say, you know, it's bound to come around again, and I'm just going to keep plugging away at it. Now, this particular class, the Time to Feel Good class, it really
mm-hmm.
would serve you to finish this on your own, simply because it's the, you know, it's the invitation to what you practice retreat that
yes.
is one of the most phenomenal things I've ever experienced. So,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter. There's no finish line. You know, it's one of those.
Right.
It's a marathon. You know, you can finish the next day if you really want to. So,
right.
You know, however you manage it. But to get that information, just because I think you'd really enjoy the retreat.
Yeah. No, I wanted to take it this summer and couldn't, so now I'm really psyched to do it, even though I came to a realization during the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat that I'm probably going to go back home to Israel in a few months. So getting to the next retreat will be extra exciting and challenging, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I'll manage to do that.
Yes, because blessedly those airplanes go all over the world now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
As Jen can promise, she just made the trip to Zambia. So
yeah.
Good. Good. Well,
and
we
I
might
just
get
wanted
one
to
in
say
before
that,
you go. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I just also wanted to say that the radio show, the archives, and also the ones that I don't manage to listen to live, have become something that motivate me to, I'm trying to run now to get a little bit
oh,
of
yeah.
running in. And there's the reservoir in Central Park that I've managed
yeah.
to make a round or two of. And
oh,
listening
God.
To the radio show during running makes a lot of, I mean, it's not a jumpy, exciting tune to run to, but it's a really motivating feeling that everyone, as I'm listening to them, is sort of there with me running and makes me not stop. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, each one of us practicing just as hard as we can all the time. There's a lot of power in that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad,
thank you very
I'm glad
much.
They closed down the restaurant and we got to talk with you. And we'll hope they close it again before long.
Okay. Thank you very much and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Nomi. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Patty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We haven't talked in a long time.
I know. I know.
You doing good?
I am. I'm busy, which is part of the reason that I'm calling tonight. Or I chose this week in particular to call because I just get really busy around holidays, and I just set an intention at the beginning of this week that I wanted to. I wanted to keep all my commitments to myself this week.
Oh, good. Oh, what a beautiful commitment.
Yeah, because if I just went with my conditioning, you know, I would be blowing off meditation and the radio show and the sitting group and, you know, all of that stuff that I know supports me. And it's just, you know, conditioning love to come up with reasons why, you know, I can't do all those things. And so, you know, this just seemed like the perfect time to go up against that conditioning.
Uh-huh. Yes, especially because it's got, it's a little concentrated, like kind of a little retreat length experiment, right? Because it wants you to drop everything that supports you in a week when you need it more than ever.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's perfect. You come back at it with the same kind of force that it's hitting you with.
Right.
So
not only
will I not drop some of the things that take care of me, I'm not going to drop any of them. There, take that. Very good.
Yeah, and then I watched how, like, this morning I, you know, was going to go for a run and I didn't get around to it. And then the beating started or tried to start. And, you know, I saw that, okay, so this has now been turned, you know, has been taken over by ego and it's being turned into yet another standard, you know,
mm-hmm.
that if I don't keep all of my commitments to myself, then I failed. You know, and I should feel guilty and bad.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And if you do keep all of your commitments to yourself, you still should feel guilty and bad. We don't know why, but you just should.
I'm sure they'll find some reason.
There's always something we can drag out. Yeah.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, so what I saw today, you know, looking at this was just like that I've been focused on, well, like, so there's this perfectionist sort of sub-personality that I have that, you know, wants to do everything, you know, wants to do everything on the to-do list and do it right and all that stuff.
Yep.
And then when I, you know, when I say, okay, I want to, you know, take care of myself this week, then what happens is, like, then it becomes like, okay, well, it's going to be okay if I don't do X, Y, and Z, meaning, like, if I don't, you know, I don't know, make the house look perfect or whatever for the holiday, you know, that it's like, it's okay if I drop all of these things on the to-do list. But what I saw today was that it was like, by sort of looking at it that way, it was like I was still focused on doing or not doing. Like, I was still, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, it was like I was still trapped in that same system, the same duality.
Yes.
And there was like no way that I'm going to not feel bad, even though I'm saying, okay, I'm not going to feel bad about this. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm not being.
It still got you. It still got it still got your attention. Now, this is something that I'm fascinated with, and I think you will be too, because we're both looking at the same thing. So, what happens in practice for a long time is that people are looking at egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, trying to figure out what it is and where it is and how it does that, and trying to have a sense of when it takes over and what it feels like to be identified with it and like that. And what's and it's essential. That's an essential thing to do. We have to. There's at least I don't know of a way around it. But then if we're not careful, what happens is that goes on long past the time that it needs to go on. And what's happening then is we are simply in an overt, intimate relationship
mm-hmm.
with karmic conditioning,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. which is, to me, what you're describing.
Yep. That's totally what it is. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's still got all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting it in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was... It's so helpful. I've been doing the email class, and I also fell behind and was getting a beating for that. And,
of course.
But I was getting caught up today on the assignment where, you write the problem out, like, all these different ways.
Yes.
And as I was doing that, I kept going down, to all these deeper layers, and I saw that that the core of this problem is that there's a person in me that is still in very close relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate.
We can see why that system works so hard to keep people from doing those lessons.
Yeah,
because that is huge, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's huge.
Yeah. So it's like, I run around trying to do all these things, to, like, quote unquote, make myself, feel okay or feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But when I dug deeper, I could see, feeling good equals not getting a beating, right? Because it's all about avoiding the beating.
Yeah.
And basically it equals, meeting conditioning standards.
Yes.
And,
exactly. So now I'm a willing slave.
Yeah.
Instead of a recalcitrant slave or trying to hide somewhere to avoid the beatings. It's now I'm going to perform up to the standards and avoid the beating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the content just, could be anything.
Mm.
I related so much to the last call, and it's different content, but it's still the same process, feeling guilty, feeling bad,
Yes.
And, so I just had, I had this one moment today where I just for like a split second, just for a blip, I wasn't in the duality.
Mm.
Well, I wasn't focusing on, I got to do all these things, and I wasn't focusing on, who cares if I do these things, screw conditioning, like I was just not even thinking about any of that, and I was just, present to what I was doing, and it just hit me like, oh, okay, I've just been looking at this problem, you know, from the mind that created it, you know, like,
yes.
There was no way out of that.
Yes.
So,
yes, so that's such
yeah.
a perfect description. So you're looking at it from the left, and then you get flipped over, and you're looking at it from the right, then back to the left, then back to the right, and then what happened in that blip is you just left that continuum, and you were outside it for a second. So you could see it for what it is. That's big. So
yeah.
There are two things that are so big about it. One, just the experience of being outside the world of duality is enough to motivate a person for a lifetime. You know, that's possible for us to live in that place. And the second part, of course, is that you now have the tools not to be stuck there any longer, because you now have the mentor, the recording, the listening. You know, you have a whole process available for removing yourself completely from that dualistic reality with all content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Big stuff.
Yeah, and thank you for those tools. My recording and listening practice had just been very inconsistent, and since the last It's Time to Feel Good class, and
mm-hmm.
and it got kind of, you know, then I kind of picked it up again when I was at the monastery, and because there was like nothing else to do, you know, when I went back to my hermitage at night, it was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just record and listen.
Yeah, I'll talk to the mentor. There's nobody else to talk to.
Yeah. But then, you know, coming home, it was like distraction city, you know, the recording and listening again kind of fell away. And then with this class, it's one of the things I was hoping for was that the class would really rejuvenate my recording and listening practice, and that it's really done that.
Patty. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, the thing that has to be the next thing that we work on is how astounding it is that we have to do this without any self-hate or judgment or anything else. But what the heck goes on with us? That we know we have the ability to go from suffering to freedom, and we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
fascinating.
You know, conditioning, yeah, it is. Conditioning would like us to feel bad about it, but there's no sense in feeling bad about it because it's obviously something beyond what we are able to get to on our own.
Yeah,
truly. Because there are, mm-hmm. at this point, there are thousands and thousands of people who know experientially that at any moment they can stop suffering and still get talked into not doing that simple thing that would enable that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so universal.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm hoping, of course, that we are the group of people who are going to answer that question. We're going to, as a Sangha, figure out what goes on with that and how to flip it. Because, because I think we can.
Yeah.
In the same way that we've gotten this far. You know, we've figured this out. We know we can do it. Now, what's going to make us choose it all the time?
Mm. Yeah, I think it was last week you were talking about the next book was going to be about resistance.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that idea because that is the thing that I struggle with the most now in my practice.
Yeah.
You know, it was like once I got past that, the major self-hate, you know, then conditioning kind of slid into the more subtle resistance mode. And that's what I practice with most often on a day-to-day basis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, I know what I want, and I know, you know, how to get there, and I just don't feel like it, you know, I don't wanna.
yes, that's the secret. That's the realization that is the whole deal. Because again, and I know you've heard me say this 10,000 times, but I do think it's going to be the switch that we learn to flip, and that is getting it that that's not you. And, you know, the experience that you had today where you blipped out of that duality for a second and into that completely different place, the realization that that different place is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the other place that, you know, we walk around thinking is me, is not who we are. Now, that is almost too creepy to contemplate. But I, you know, again, once we have that experience of that expanded, disidentified, centered awareness, and begin to get it that's the authentic being, I think our willingness to let go of that suffering identity is going to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope so.
I hope so. Yeah,
the world needs it.
Yeah. I mean, it takes courage.
Oh, it takes tremendous courage. And, mm-hmm. you know, beyond courage, I mean, the conversation that we're having right now would render us certifiable in just about any group on the planet, you know? I mean, it is so out there for most people, they
yeah.
wouldn't have any idea what we were talking about. What do you mean it's not me? So we're pioneers.
You know, that's so funny because I was just at the supermarket, you know, like an hour ago, and it was crazy, you know. It's just people running around trying to buy turkeys and, you know, and I heard somebody saying to someone else, you know, like, oh, it's not over yet, you know, and I just started laughing because it's like that's the attitude that most people have about Thanksgiving, you know. It's
yeah.
like, oh, we've got to grit our teeth and get through this, and you know
yeah.
how this is just going to be awful, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I thought that's crazy,
and it is that little half step back, and you just go this. This is what's going on here is nuts.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I think, like waking up sane in the asylum. You know, who are you going to tell?
Exactly. Well, thank you for being there to talk about it with.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you. And have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Good night.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
You are the light of the world. So shine, shine, shine where you are.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Gwen.
Hey, Gwen.
I didn't think I would get on.
Be there.
I am there. I am here.
Yes, you are. And we're glad of it.
I am thrilled to talk to you again. I was at the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat last August, and it was fabulous. And I've been listening to all of the archives on the way to work and back, and I'm just thrilled to talk with you and say thank you. I am grateful for your program, and I am grateful to be in the Sangha, and I keep trying to spread the word wherever I go as gently as I can with my role model.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly. When people say to you, gosh, you seem different, or what are you doing that's working, things like that, then you can give them a little hint, right?
That's right. That's the way to get it to work, because people have asked me, you know, you just seem so calm. And it's made a big difference in my relationship with several significant people, in that I will often say to myself, oops, take your ego out of it.
And
take a step back and go, okay, what's really happening here? You know, get your ego out.
Yeah, let's just breathe here, calm down, get back to center. Yeah, that's great. Hey, you know, when you said that about, so you did There's Nothing Wrong With You in August, and then started listening to the radio show and driving back and forth and listening to the archives, and you said that you were grateful to be a part of this Sangha, and I thought, and that's right, because listening to the archives of this show, you know huge numbers of people in this Sangha, don't you?
I do, and I just love the people that call from the UK, and one woman that called from the Netherlands.
From
all over. It's just, it's just great. And when I sit down to meditate every day, and I realize that someone in the world is also sitting down with me. And so, and I love this CD.
You have the Daily Recollection CD?
The Daily Recollection CD. And sometime I would love to come do the understand all of the different beads. And I don't know how to get the information which explains exactly what all of the different lines in the recollection mean.
Well, I will tell you, first of all, there isn't a way other than coming to a precepts retreat, which we just had one in October. Next year, we're actually going to do a kind of a celebration, because it's 25 years that we have been doing the precepts retreats now, that people have been taking the precepts and committing their lives to awareness practice in that way. So that's 2012, right? So 2013, there will be another week-long retreat, and you can come, and we explore the precepts and talk about the various aspects of practice and how that goes together and all that. So put that on your calendar. But in the interim, I will tell you how I have used that daily recollection since I started practicing a very long time ago. And that is that when I first started, there was nothing was written down about it. I would just hear people say it, and slowly over time, I memorized it. And I would be going along in life, and there are some puzzling concepts in that, you know, unusual ways of putting words together. And I would be going along, and I would have an insight about something, and it would drop in. Oh, that's what that means. And it was such a powerful training, practice tool for me to use it in that way, because sort of what I realized over time is that truly the intelligence that animates was providing the insights, the awarenesses about where I was and where I was going in practice. So, it's me now in 2013, just to maybe consider sort of playing with it in that way, you know, letting it and it sort of being with it with the intention that life will inform you about what that is and unfold that in your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand. It comes to me in little bits. You know, I'll be reciting back with the CD, and it will, you know, it will remind me of. I'll take one a day and take it with me. Like today, I'm going to, you know, be more generous. Today, I'm going to not get angry about anything. You know, and
yes,
and I just take a little bit of it each day. I don't try to absorb the whole thing.
Right,
so.
Exactly. And what I love so about that is that you're making it yours. You know, it's not some kind of theoretical hoo-hoo that's out there, you know, that it's something that you're supposed to, just memorize and then be able to say. You're doing with it what it's meant to do, which is to inform your practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my favorite line is, "Oh, happy blessed day."
Oh, mine too. Yeah. And of course, we have a thing around practice, you know, where sometimes we will sort of grin at each other and say through gritted teeth, "Oh, happy blessed opportunity." When things aren't going just exactly the way we would wish. But it's a beautiful thing, and I've loved it for so long, and I have a copy of that CD as well, and I just love meditating with everybody in the morning and saying the daily recollection, and it's that same feeling of, you know, people all over the world are practicing with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I loved being at the monastery. In fact, when I went to the monastery, I was not a vegetarian. I drank 2 liters of Diet Coke a day. And I thought,
oh
boy,
God.
This is going to be tough for me, right? You know, and the first, I went cold turkey. Like an ex-smoker, an ex-alcoholic, you know, it's like, okay, I can do this.
I know how to be an ex.
Well, when I came out of the monastery, I was like, oh, a Diet Coke, and I drank the Diet Coke, and it was terrible.
Oh, wow.
Have
you stayed off of it?
I have maintained a vegetarian diet, and I have not had any Diet Coke other than the one I had when I came out of the monastery that tasted terrible, and then I went, I don't like this. I don't want this in my life. And people have said, how can you not eat meat? I go, I don't miss it. I don't. And now the thought of eating something that has eyes is kind of like repulsive and not something I don't want to do. I just
yeah. And you know, again, this is, to me, the very best way to approach practice. Not a, I should be a vegetarian. I really want to eat all of this stuff, but you know it's wrong, and I and people get into that awful push pull suffering over it. When we get to that point of I don't want to, then there's nothing to torture us over it. You know, it's not, I'm not suffering. I've often told people I have never given up anything in my life. I've let go of a ton, but I've never given anything up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's. I have gained. I haven't given it up.
Yes, exactly. That is it precisely. Yeah.
I've expanded my diet, not decreased it, because I'm eating a lot of things I never would have dreamed of eating before, like kale.
Yes. Oh, isn't it the best? Yeah, and you know, of course, the reward that we get is that the body just says, oh. Thank goodness. Thank you for not putting me through that any longer.
Yes, I was able to quit dieting.
Uh-huh.
Now
wow.
I just eat, and I'm healthy. So
yeah.
That was really
well, you
fun.
You are an inspiration, my dear.
I'm just a mirror.
Oh, well, it's wonderful. I really appreciate hearing all of this. It's good. It inspires us all.
I'm one of many people who are being inspired by you, Sherry. Keep up the good work.
Okay. I will if you will.
I will. I promise.
Okay. It's a deal.
We're a group. We're a sangha.
We are.
Well, I'm glad I caught on. And thank you. And we'll keep going.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Gwen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun and inspiring.
Wow. I mean, this sangha is just, well, there are no words, at least I don't know any words to describe it. It's just I mean, I get it. There are wonderful people who aren't in our sangha, and that's fine. But the people that we are blessed to practice with are an extraordinary group of people.
Yes.
Yeah, truly. And it's that feeling that to me Gwen represented so perfectly is just the, you know, we're all out there wherever we are, doing what we're doing, practicing, and we're all connected. We're all supporting one another all the time, whether there's any, any proof of that or not. We know it. We can feel it. Around the clock, people are practicing, transforming their lives, and we're all profoundly affected by that.
Yes.
It's a very good
feeling. I feel like I'm being pulled along, supported the whole way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's miraculous. It's, yeah. So I was writing the thing today and about Thanksgiving and just wanting to express my gratitude to people and how grateful I am to be doing the email class in November. It coincides so perfectly with this particular holiday and just having a chance every day to read over and over the kinds of differences that people are making in their lives through their commitment to practice, through their willingness and sincerity. And it's just... I don't have a lot of contact with the world in the sense of, you know, I don't tune into the bad news. I'm just
I'm just not interested in it. And so the world that I live in is the world of the people that we get to talk to every week, and you know, and everyone, all of these folks around the world who are practicing together, and I don't feel anything other than pretty certain that humanity is in good shape and the world is fine.
Yes. And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I've had a lot of practice while being on hold.
Oh, good. Aren't you usually in San Francisco?
Yes, but sometimes I spend time in Palo Alto, so I didn't know how important it was to be accurate in our location.
No, not at all, except, you know, I pay attention to these kinds of details. So what have you been practicing while you were on hold?
I've been practicing this thing you were talking about around what gets us stuck and how we redirect our attention. And what I saw was this... basically, there was fear that was saying, oh, maybe you won't get on, like kind of looking forward to not having to deal with the fears of being on the show. And then it was when I just shifted my attention to, wow, you know, who knows? Like, I mean, I'm not saying the radio show won't continue, but like, wow, what a blessing to be able to even potentially participate in the show. And just shifting my attention to gratitude for you and for the potential to talk to you and to share with Sangha what's going on, that just really, it just gets me out of that fear, trying to push away the fear, trying to understand why the fear is there, that whole process.
Right. Well, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Patty earlier, doesn't it? Doing that, now the fear, and why is there fear, and what does that mean, and I don't want to have fear, so if I could get rid of the fear, that it's just another way to be in relationship with karmic conditioning. And so you just shift your attention to, what a great thing. What a great thing that there's the kind of technology that enables us to talk to people all over the world, that Sangha can be together in this way. And it's true. I mean, who knows how long this is going to go on under the best of circumstances. We don't know. and here we are. And isn't this fabulous?
Yeah, and I just have to say I'm so grateful. I don't know if I want to give it away, but assignment, the seventh assignment in terms of the Lightroom is just, I mean, maybe we could share it. It was fantastic.
Fun? we had a good time coming up with that, as you can imagine.
So
email just class this way is so much fun for us, because everybody started out in the A track and then we got the B track, but then how do people keep up? Well, just there's always an A track, there's a B track, now we have a C track, so there's that, the fun of, for us, of coming up with something new, you know, so where are people now in their practice and what's going to be the, you know, that's fun. And then watching people go through the different exercises and do the work and have that growing experience of, transformation is the best word, so... It's just really fun, and I'm already thinking about, because I want to do this forever, of course. I'm already thinking about the D track.
Oh, you know,
the next time we do it. So where will these C track people be, and what's going to be the challenge for the D track?
Well, I have to put one plug in to continue it beyond November. I'm not sure what the plans are beyond November, but I did enjoy last year being able to continue at this time of year.
Yeah, yes. That's right. That is why we continued, huh? Because we didn't want to just cut people loose right at the most, for most people, the most difficult, stressful time of the entire year.
Yeah.
And, well, good. We'll take that into account. I don't know that there's anything we can do about it, but maybe there's something that we can figure out to add some support because, boy, it's true. You know, it's supposed to be the most fun, exciting, fulfilling, loving time of the year, and people come through it looking like they've been run through a ringer. Yeah.
Well, and that ties in with just one last thing I'll mention is just a theme I've noticed is momentum. You know, how do you, and I know there's this question of kind of inspiration versus self-discipline, but I do, sometimes you feel that, you know, the energy of a momentum and kind of keeping things going when you're kind of getting stronger at something and how to support yourself in keeping that momentum going when the external momentum maybe isn't there necessarily.
Yeah, that's such a great point, and it's a topic that I really like. In fact, that would be sort of fun to explore, just as you said it, because I think that it's critical that we have constant inspiration to maintain our self-discipline.
Mm.
So somebody said to me at one point, well, you know, I just feel like I'm some kind of a junkie. You know, I just go from thing to thing to thing, always trying to stay up and inspired and that sort of thing. I said, yeah, who's making that a problem?
Okay, yeah.
Because isn't that what we want to do? Because you're right. If we're not constantly focused on something that is inspiring to us, then those voices are just going to drag us back down into that pit again.
Mm.
It's just a given, and they have in most people's lives way too much weight on their side. You know, we just 30 seconds is a challenging length of time for most folks not to have something to give their attention to that lights them up.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, and actually speaking of which, I don't know if we have time, but I thought it might be nice to get one more, if there's time for one more person, I can wrap up before the Thanksgiving.
Oh, I don't know. What were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. No, I'm good.
Oh,
I like what
well,
you're
then
saying.
Goodbye, Mary Jane. have a fabulous, fabulous holiday. And,
thank you.
It's great talking with you. Great hearing your voice. And thank you for that suggestion. I'll talk to the staff. You know the staff, and see if what we can put together to try to keep the momentum going, because it's true. It's important.
Yes.
So,
well, thank
yeah.
you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have about 2 minutes left here.
You got a caller?
Yes. Would you like
to
talk?
Oh, good, because I don't want to lose Mary Jane for nothing. So, yes, absolutely.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Janice from Texas.
Hey, Janice. How's it going?
It's going good. I am so happy that I got on, even if for 2 minutes. There's some little sub-personality that was so excited to call in, and I'm just so happy that she got to get on.
Good. Me too.
Yeah.
How's life?
Life is great, mostly because of recording and listening. And so I wanted to call in and because I got encouraged by listening to the archives and everybody going on and on about it, you know, and I was resistance, procrastination, whatever. I would do it here and there, but not consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the email class, oh, my gosh, the mentor, crazy, astoundingly wise and supportive.
Isn't it just amazing?
amazing. And I'm focusing on the process, not the results, but I trade the markets.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 12 days, I have easily met my goal.
Wow.
Like after 2 years of, you know, I mean, part of it was creating a plan of kindness to myself and success. And I was doing it without the mentor being involved,
uh-huh.
but man, throw uh-huh. the mentor in there and wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Like at first it took a little bit to, you know, figure out the difference between, I mean, there's a big difference between EKC and the mentor, but at first it's a little, you know, but like as far as trading goes, the mentor has no opinion as to where I should enter or what I should do. They're just completely supportive, and EKC is just nonstop about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Once you get a little experience under your belt, it's not hard to tell them apart at all, is it?
No, the mentor is just
yeah.
there with me no matter how long it takes.
Yes, yeah. Or what you do, what happens. You know, we talk about the conditional and the unconditional. And I feel like this is the first time people have had the tools really to experience the difference between those. And the mentor is completely unconditional. It just truly doesn't matter anything about you. You are just lovable, period.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, that is the God's truth. You know, it's not, it's an expression of the deepest truth in life.
Yeah, I just can't see how it could be any other way.
No.
My experiences.
Yes, yes, because you, along with everyone and everything else, you are an expression of life. You are life in form. Life is the unconditional. You are a form that is an expression of that unconditional. We can say unconditional love, but it's unconditional.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just
and
even
present,
on a logic level, you can't get around it.
Yeah. And I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So only that which wants to try to experience itself as outside of life, other than life, separate from life, gets into this whole dualistic drama of this and that and what if and oh my God and you this and you that. And and it's, again, back to what Patty was talking about earlier. You know, you just pop out of that for a second and you can see, well, that's just silly.
Yeah, and one of the amazing things is it grows and grows and grows. I mean, the ability to replace EKC with the mentor, for me,
yes.
my experience.
Yes.
Like
yes.
even when I hear something external, it's not even internal, something coming at me external, when my husband said
mm-hmm.
something to me. He's a great guy, right? But, you know, I'm like, oh, my mentor wouldn't say that to me.
That's right.
You know,
yes.
like I could,
yes.
it's like, something doesn't sound right about that.
Yes, and now, right, and now we have something to compare it to. Because
yeah.
once when we hear it inside, we can also hear it outside. And, of course, to me, the place that where compassion grows is, oh, I know what happens to me when I get hoodwinked, and
yeah.
I'm identified with karmic conditioning, and I can pretty much recognize it in other people now, and so I know what I need when that happens to me. I need
yeah.
unconditional love, so I bet they do too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm
okay.
glad. I'm glad we had that 2 minutes.
Yes,
and
me too.
So take care of yourself and have a great holiday. And we'll talk soon, I hope.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you,
all
Michael.
Right.
Thanks, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. Sherry, I am so grateful.
Me too. Me too. And I'm grateful that I was going to try to get through this entire show without making reference to turkeys, but I find I'm not able to. So I have to say I'm grateful for all of the tables around the world that will be loaded down with food that nobody had to give up their life for. So,
yeah. Me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Take good care, Michael.
Yes, you too.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.